Blog Talk Radio.
A place and a day and a time, and then we'll So make me a believer. Well, shalom, shalom, everyone. This is Jaina. On the first day of the week, how is everybody doing today? Shalom, shalom. I'm glad to have everybody here. Everybody's doing well. It's a new day. We're one day closer to going home. Hallelujah, hallelujah, and hallelujah. All praises be to the Most High, Yah. Anybody can hear me? Press one. It's a setup. Just press one. If you can hear me, Brother Donnie, I know you out there somewhere. Press one. Somebody press one if you can hear me. Just want to make sure you can hear me. Now everybody got used to what I do. Now don't nobody want to press one. All right. Brother Donia, how are you today?
Shalom, Sister Yahina. I'm fine. How about yourself?
Oh, I guess I'll make it. I have no complaints at all whatsoever. Y'all is good.
Well, you know if you got a complaint, you know who to carry it to.
Yeah, you know that's the truth. He's the only one that's going to make it work. The only one that's going to make it. How you feeling today about all the stuff that's been going on? And you feel like you're one step closer to going home?
Absolutely. And I meant to tell you all yesterday or the other day is that it won't be long now. It ain't too much longer. They fight amongst themselves. You understand? They're trying to find some way to stay relevant. You understand? When the other nations is looking at these people like they fools.
Yeah, they are. One thing about Yah's word, it won't come back void. I keep saying that and saying that and saying that and saying that and saying that. But you know what? The more you see him move and how quiet he move in and out and do what he got to do, by the time you realize that he gone on to something else, he just activates it. He ain't even got to do nothing. He wrote the end from the beginning, so he just activates this scene. Like it's time for scene three, act five. Boop, and they...
Right.
And everybody start reacting. That's all they do. They react to his agenda. That's it.
You know, what's so amazing is that now you can see the dysfunctionality of this Western culture.
Yeah. You know why? It served its purpose. Its purpose has been served. And, you know, I think that the biggest fear is that these people realize now that the government has always... You know, I can agree with him in some things. You know, the government is like I heard a man say, he was like, people don't, because let me back up. After they did what they did on Wednesday, they went to the Capitol building in Kentucky, and they were standing there with loaded guns. They had loaded guns standing on the grounds of the legislature's building in Kentucky. And the lady, and she interviewed them. She says, you know, well, what's going on? He said, people don't realize we're tired. We've had enough of the government. It's like we work for them. He said, and it's supposed to be the other way around. They're supposed to work for us. So we're going to give them a chance to do this right. And if they don't do this right, we're going to have to do something else because this is not the way the government is supposed to work. So that hasn't just stopped with Washington, D.C. They have started to meet at the different legislatures, buildings and things with what's going on.
You're right.
You know, they were strapped with guns and machine guns, and they said the lady, I'm going to play the clip. The lady was like, it's not against the law for them to bring loaded guns on the grounds. Now, they did have the police there, but it was the same group of people. They was just like, we just not going to tolerate it anymore.
Yeah, well, see, this got to happen. Like, in order for this place to go down, it has to be done from the inside. You understand? You know, see, when the people's uprise, they could settle it by bringing out the militia on them folks. stunt from the inside, they don't know who to mess with. They don't know who to bring it down on. They definitely not going to do no whole lot of killing of white folks, killing white folks, although they have done it in the past. And the Revolutionary War and you know, things like that. And it might come to that. You understand? But if you notice that they did not bring out all of those folks down on them, all the people that broke into the Capitol building or the legislation building, they didn't bring none of them. Nobody got bit by no dogs, you understand? They didn't get water holes or anything like that. So they tiptoeing around these folks, man. You understand? You know, so, you know, it just has to happen like that, man. It's not gonna change, you understand?
Right.
For sure.
Huh? Right. Hold on. I'm going to let you guys hear this real quick because I was stunned. He said we're going to be in a bunch of them. So just get ready because we just ain't taking it no more. Here we go.
Afternoon on the grounds of the Kentucky State Capitol. All this as the country still reels from rioters' attack on the U.S. Capitol just 3 days ago. Thankfully, things stayed peaceful today in Frankfort as lawmakers met inside. Protesters say they wanted to send a message to lawmakers. Now some state leaders have a message of their own. Olivia Russell was at the rally, and she has more first on Fox.
But we got to come together as one, united in this country.
We want them to listen to us, because that's what we pay them for.
Dozens of armed protesters chanted and cheered outside of the state capitol as lawmakers were inside discussing and voting on several top priority bills.
Some of those laws are not very well written, and we want to make sure that we can have some control of what's in them so that we're not giving away our lives.
Tony Wheatley is one of the organizers. He said the protest was made up of four or five groups and militias from across Kentucky. Wheatley clarified this protest is not like the events that unfolded in Washington, D.C. just a few days ago.
They're all friendly. No one's going to be hurt. No one's going to be rushing the buildings. And we just want people to understand that this is not about force.
These protesters aren't just focused on the bills being discussed right now. They're also asking lawmakers to impeach Governor Andy Beshear.
He's done things that just doesn't add up to normal business. Not necessarily because of the mandates that have taken place, but there are other things that the governor has done, like borrowing $865 million without consent of the legislature.
Wheatley believes some legislators agree with the crowd, but he said ultimately impeachment isn't likely.
But we want just to get the point across for the American people and the people of Kentucky that there are things you can do besides storm a Capitol.
While their voices were outside of the Capitol, they hope their message was heard inside. For the Fox 56 10 o'clock news.
State police increased their presence at the Capitol this week. Several troopers patrolled the area today. Now on Twitter this afternoon, Governor Andy Beshear said this about the rally. 3 days after domestic terrorists attacked our U.S. Capitol, there was a militia rally in Frankfort. They brought zip ties. We will not be intimidated. We will not be bullied. America is counting on the real patriots, those who condemn hate and terror when they see it.
There you have it. They had machine guns. They was dressed in military attire. Okay, everybody has reached the boiling point. This was in Frankfort, Kentucky. So they haven't stopped. You know,
stop. And insurrection is not just one day, man. You know, they said that they're coming out on Inauguration Day. You understand?
Yeah. A lot of them haven't left Washington. They said it's a lot of them that are still there. They ain't left. So, yeah, I would agree. So it's just, you know, it's watching. Everybody is, they want to break it down. You know, they're trying to tear it down. The way the government has been ran, the people who have ran the government, they're trying to tear it down. And it just doesn't seem like it's going to stop because these people feel like, you know, the government now acts like we work for the government. The government is supposed to work for us. And this is not how it's supposed to be. So, you know, they're tired. They say they're tired of the corruption. They're tired of laws being passed on people that have no control over it. They're tired of it. And this is where they're at. And, you know, like I thought about it, I said, you know, the way that they walked into the Capitol is really the way a coup is set up. The only thing they didn't have was the military turning on the government. Because had they had the military to turn on the government, this would have been over with.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
So I just... 504, your mic is open. You're on the air. Would you like to share anything in the conversation, or will you just let me know you can hear me? Area code 540. I'm sorry, I said 504. 540.
Oh, I just was letting you know that I can hear. 540.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, you know, this is where it's not going to stop. And they said they weren't going to stop. They can't go back after this. But they bought zip ties with them.
You know? Say what?
I said they brought zip ties with them. You know the zip ties to handcuff people with their hands behind their back?
They got an email out right now from somebody said that they was going to, they had plans to shoot Nancy Pelosi on TV.
Wow.
And you know they're investigating it so that they can find out where that who sent that email.
Wow. Now you know that's going too far. That's just too far. That's too far.
This stuff has to happen. This stuff has to happen, sister. You understand? There's nothing that nobody can change the outcome of this here.
Right.
They're coming up with all kinds of things. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. That was my fault. I hit the button by accident.
They tried to come up with anything that they can to turn the outcome around. Ain't going to happen. Not going
to
happen.
No, because my thing is, how can you go back to normal? I mean, what is normal now? You know, I mean, really, because you think about some of these legislatures, they old as I don't know what. No offense to people who are in there, but Nancy Pelosi is 80 years old. When do you move out and let some younger people take the spot? Do you have this position for life? I mean, how are you? How is this supposed to progress when these Mitch McConnell is old?
Yep.
These people need to let some of these younger people come in there and have a chance to be able to be a part of this thing. And it's like they don't leave office until they die.
Well, see, you know, you got to be voted in. You understand? And they got a lock on how to get voted in. You understand? Look here, Nancy Pelosi, you understand, was supposed to be voted on to become the Speaker of the House, but they had no... So she walked right into that position this time because they had nobody to run against her. You know, and she'll be there for another 2 years. Mitch McConnell, you understand, you know, they just voted him back in office.
Wow.
But it's I don't have no faith in this society because I know that this place has to go. You understand what I'm saying? And I know that they're fighting like hell to try to change the outcome of what the future holds. You understand? And it's not going to happen. You understand? The Almighty had already said that this place is slated for destruction. No, when they finish doing this, there won't be nothing on this planet. I mean, especially in America, will be nothing to come back to. This place gonna be leveled to the ground. That's what it says now.
Now check this out. They said it has started something that hasn't stopped. Here we go. Check it out.
Bob Schieffer to take a look at reaction to the last week. Sorry, Mark Strassman to take a look at events around the country. Here's his report.
Vengeance is ours, saith the mob. And they're still saying,
I'm really glad it needed to happen.
Days after MAGA mania rampaged through an American sanctuary, was the moment heroic or horrific? Partisans got in each other's face.
Oh,
threat to terror. No, we're not. But for some Trump loyalists, it's an inflection point.
You can be disappointed in whatever, but you can't just go in and ransack public places like that.
Count me out. Enough is enough.
You are a traitor, Lindsey Graham.
Trump diehards turned on Senator Lindsey Graham after that.
Welcome to the new America, Lindsey.
This video shows the first family Wednesday morning, right before the president's inflammatory speech.
I think we're C-minus a couple of seconds here, guys.
A couple hours later, the mob trampled the Constitution and Roseanne Boylan of Kennesaw, Georgia.
The president's words incited a riot that killed four of his biggest fans.
We're in, boys!
Protesters also stormed the Washington State Governor's Mansion. More protests in Arizona, Florida, Minnesota, and the Kansas State House. Talk of more violence now scuttles across social media. Our American ideal is still at risk. Democracy or ochlocracy. Rule by the mob. Mark Strassman, CBS News, Atlanta.
Now, you know they ran Lindsey Graham was in the airport trying to go home, and the mob was in the airport, and they ran him out of the airport. He had to get police escort to take him out of the airport.
Well, Lindsey Graham is a turncoat, man, and I don't mean that. He go with the wind. You understand? One thing he's saying that he's all right with Trump. The next minute he's saying he ain't all right with Trump. So he just, he's a wishy-washy guy. Lindsey Graham. I don't like him either.
Yeah, well, they ran him out of there. They ran him out of there. They told him you a traitor, and this ain't gonna stop. So I don't care what y'all do. So they meeting all over the country now.
Yep.
That is critical.
Yeah. This place has got to go.
Hold on a minute.
We've already completed our punishment. Now the Almighty said he's going to judge these folks that held us captive. All of them.
Yeah. Area code 828, did you just want to let me know you heard me, or do you have anything you want to say?
I just wanted to let you know I heard you.
Okay, great. All right, I'll put you back on mute. Yeah, so, I mean, as we go through this, this ain't stopping. Everybody thought this was a one-time isolated incident, but the way it's looking, these people have gotten to the point where they say enough is enough. They ran him out of the airport. He had to have police escort to get him out of the airport.
Yeah. He's I tell you, man, I don't like, Lindsey Graham? I don't like him at all. Him and Mitch McConnell. They was running the whole house. Mitch McConnell wouldn't bring nothing to be voted on, you understand, during Obama's tenure, you understand? So, you understand? Obama had elected a person for the Supreme Court, and Lindsey Graham and Mitch McConnell would not bring it to a vote, period. But soon as Trump got in there and elected two people to the Supreme Court, you understand? But see, when you do wickedness and evil, you understand, it always comes back. Always. Maybe not, and most of the time is when you least expect it.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's there now. But all of this has to be the Most High. They said they got, well, hold on, let me get this one. They said they got Mitt Romney at the airport as well. Hold on.
Was confronted yesterday in an airport. It looks like DCA in Washington, D.C. from the video that we are going to play. You all know I didn't vote for Mitt Romney in 2012. I voted for Barack Obama. You all know Mitt Romney is a conservative Republican completely not in line with my politics, but Mitt Romney in this particular confrontation with a complete and utter loon sounds eminently reasonable and completely respectful and polite, even when he really has no reason to be, given how he's being treated. In this video, you are going to see the end result of the heat Romney has been taking from the right, from the pro-Trump right, because while Mitt Romney is a right-wing religious Republican, he has refused to indulge Donald Trump in some of his authoritarian insanity. Mitt Romney didn't vote for Trump in the presidential election. Mitt Romney, on one of two impeachment counts, actually did vote to convict Mitt Romney in the Senate. And in this video, Mitt Romney is accosted in the airport, and he's way more polite than many people would have been to this woman. When Mitt Romney is the calming voice of reason in a conversation, you know things are crazy, and that they are with this MAGA cult that is here and is likely going to be with us for some period of time. So let's look at the video. We joined the video with Mitt Romney sitting by himself at the airport with his mask on as required, approached by a maskless person. We might call her a maskless Holy Karen if we wanted some kind of name. Let's join the video.
How you doing?
Put your mask on.
Don't tell me what to do.
Please put your mask on. It's required by law in the circle.
I'm standing 6 feet away.
I'm sorry.
Okay, I'll tell you what, because you know what? I'm going to go ahead and do it because I want to have a chat with you.
So first of all, I don't need a mask because I'm 6 feet away. You're
said,
in the airport. The airports require masks, lady. And that's just a microcosm of how they make up the rules as they go along, as they want them to be. Let's continue.
Why aren't you supporting President Trump?
I do support things President Trump does that I think I agree with.
You're not supporting him.
Sorry, I do agree with many of the things he's for, and I support those things.
Are you going to support him in the fraudulent vote?
The election? No, I'm not.
Why not?
Because I'm going to get a chance to hear my remarks in time.
It's going to be a real long
time. I'm sorry, can you say that again?
It's a long story, but we have a constitution. The constitutional process is clear. I'll follow the constitution, and I'll explain all that when we meet in Congress this week.
So Mitt Romney is asked, why won't he support Trump trying to steal the election? And Romney says, because we have a constitution. And you would think that these constitutional fetishists, if they were actually committed to constitutionality, would respect that in Mitt Romney. But no, it actually makes her more angry. And this is one of my favorite moments.
Well, you haven't supported him, and you didn't even support him in the election.
No, I didn't.
Why?
Reasons.
You were voted in as a conservative to represent the conservative constituents, period.
Now, that's fascinating for a few reasons. She says, you were voted in as a conservative Republican to represent.
Okay, listen.
Huh?
I work for the people of Utah.
Exactly, and I am from Utah.
Yeah, well, but you're not the only one.
I voted. I know. There's a lot of people that didn't vote for you. We'll make sure of that one.
Totally,
you admit it. You know it. You know it's coming.
They didn't want you in there anyway. So to be honest with you, I wouldn't be surprised if you weren't even voted in legally.
So there, Mitt Romney starts walking. But again, two more things to note. First, the woman and a guy.
So anyway, they're confronting all of the legislators when they find them by themselves. They're confronting them now. They're walking up to them. You don't be surprised if some of these people don't get voted back in. This might be their last time. This truly might be their last go round. Because these people off the chain, don't be surprised. I hope they got their money saved up because, buddy, I mean, they are on a warpath, which is wonderful for me because the closer we get to this, the closer we get ready to go home.
Hallelujah.
They are confronting the legislators, and they're not going to go away. Everybody thought this was a one-time isolated incident, and it's just not. Crucial. Hold on, I got some more. I ain't finished yet. Hold on, here we go. Check this out. Uh-oh, wait, I gotta turn this down. Oh, bless his name. This all this mess, this is the good stuff, y'all. Hold on.
Oh, no! Oh, breaker! Oh, everything! We're not standing here doing the
What are we supposed to do? Okay? The Supreme Court's not helping us. No one's helping us. Only us can help us. Only we can do it.
A mass group of Trump supporters stormed the U.S. Capitol on Wednesday to stop the certification of what they believe
representatives to do the right thing and decertify like the seven swing states.
The rally started peacefully as tens of thousands gathered outside the White House. They cheered Donald.
I'm ready.
People marched down two avenues to the Capitol, and once they got there, some broke through.
We pushed them back. So that's what we did. We pushed them back. We tried to get up the steps. They wouldn't let us up. So then they started pepper spraying and macing everybody. And we rushed them. We charged them. We got all the way to the steps. They made a line, so we stood there and we tried to push them back a little bit until finally they started getting rough with us, so we had to push them back. So that's what we did. We pushed them back. We tried to get up the steps. They wouldn't let us up. So then they started pepper spraying and macing everybody.
Thank you.
Are you okay?
Get some milk in your eyes.
They maced me. They pushed me out and they maced me.
We spoke to some people who broke into the Capitol.
What happened in there? Tell us what happened.
Yeah, we went in there and then I walked in and there's just a whole bunch of people lighting up in some Oregon room. I don't know if it's an Oregon, just tons of Oregon paintings, but they were smoking a bunch of weed in there. And they moved it down, throwing the statues. Cops are very cool. They're like, hey guys, have a good night. Some of them, it's just crazy. It's really weird. You can see that. Some of them are on our side.
We've reached out to the Capitol Hill Police for comment, but have not yet heard back.
We've had your mask for a long time now.
A huge group of us stormed inside, and as you started, we were basically shouting at the cops, and there were people arguing with them and trying to get them on our side.
Clashes with police happened sporadically throughout the day, and waves of tear gas wafted over the crowd.
All right, y'all, that's a little bit more, but it's just to let you know that these people have turned up. They are done. And once Trump leaves, it's not going to stop. So they're going to keep on coming until they do something. And the more they come, the more we know it's getting closer for us to leave here. And believe me, Jacob's trouble is on his way. Because these people want to make America white again. Any questions, comments? Somebody, Brother Donia?
Well, the thing is, and I know y'all tired of me saying this, but this has got to happen. This is not no, you know, when they talk about insurrection, that don't happen just one day. It's ongoing. You understand? You know, so... there's no telling how far this stuff's going to go because you got two different parties. And that's what to be expected, man. Each party is going to be in rebuttal up to the other party. You understand? And the one that's in power right now is going to kick hell. You understand? Because the insurrection of and they got both different white nationalist parties that was at the White House. You understand? So it's going to be a mess. It's going to be a mess. You understand?
You better believe it is. And the thing, give me, is it just happened all of a sudden. We just didn't know nothing about it because they have been planning this for a long time. And I also found out that they did robocalling to make sure the people was coming.
Yeah.
They was robocalling the people to let them know that they were gathering on January the 6th. So that means that, what was that, when they robocall you, is that where you have like an automated voice to come on and say, you know, don't forget, we're all meeting, all the protesters will be there January 6th. 2021 in Washington D.C. for the Trump rally, they robocalled these people. All of the groups All of the MAGNA hat wearers, they robocalled them and made sure they was going to be there.
Yep.
It's crucial.
So it's getting ready to get real exciting.
Yep, they robocalled them so that they could get there. So they made sure it was a massive amount of people there.
And it was a lot of people there, too. It was a lot of people. You understand? They said that they also urinated and defecated in the halls and all. Boy, boy, boy.
I'm going to check out, I want you to check out what this guy says, because I want you to get the gist of why they're doing what they're doing. Because everybody says, oh, that's domestic terrorism, and oh, that's anarchy, and I thought that too, but I want you to understand why they are doing what they're doing and why they feel the way they feel. Hold on, I want to get this interview, because he's really clear about it. Hold on, here we go.
Let's talk about what happened.
Okay.
Yeah, tell me, you came here by yourself, right?
I did, yeah.
All right, and what happened? You went to the Capitol, you just made your way to the front?
So we listened to the president's speech over at the Ellipse in front of the White House, and we made our way down Constitution and Pennsylvania Avenues and walked up to the Capitol building, and by the time I got there, there were people already way up, climbing scaffolding up there, climbing up the stairs. There wasn't even any barricades to keep us out, like maybe there were before I got there, but they were gone by the time I got there. I wanted to see what was going on, so I just kept climbing as far as I could. And you just have to understand there are so many people out there, you can only move so fast. Like everybody's trying to get up close to the building, and you just couldn't. You couldn't even move for a lot of the time. You had to wait for people to kind of filter up as they, you know, different people were, I don't know if they were opening new parts of the stairs or something, but eventually I made it up around the building, the Capitol building.
And what made you decide that you wanted to go inside the Capitol?
That's an interesting moment. I think I just saw it happen, and I was like, There's something going on here. This is a moment in U.S. history that, like, it's not unlike, like, the days of the beginning of the country. Like, it's just, like, there at some point, there's enough illegal behavior and there's enough crimes against the Constitution being committed by the elected officials that, you know, what are you supposed to do, you know? Nobody in the courts will listen to – they won't even – take a look at the evidence. They just dismissed court, all the election fraud cases on grounds that there's no standing or whatever. Like, so, you know, at some point you reach a point and you just say, well, how? None of my institutions are working.
Yeah.
None of this, like this. It's just, what am I supposed to do?
When you woke up this morning, you obviously had no idea that you would be storming the Capitol and breaching the Capitol building and going inside. And
No.
You shot some video in there, and
yeah.
we're gonna show some of that. How long were you in the Capitol?
Oh, man. You know, it seems like such a long time because you're just all senses are go and you're paying attention to everything. I would guess between 30 and 60 minutes total.
Wow. And how many people were in there?
In the hundreds that I saw, but it was just such chaos because there would be a group with me and a group of people that are blocked by a line of law enforcement officers, which, by the way, in most of my interactions with them were they were professional, trying to do what they were, you know, fulfill their duty, and the people us were just, you know, mostly respectful as you can be when you're kind of really pushing in on somebody's space like that.
Right.
But then there'd be us and then a line of police officers or whatever law enforcement, and then behind you'll see other people just running around. Like, it was just absolute chaos. And, you know, like, this is a, the Capitol building is huge.
Yeah.
And it's kind of weird, like, you get in there and you're like, oh, like, now we're going to go, you know, make our voices heard on, you know, the floor of the Senate or the floor of the House or whatever.
And you went all the way to the Senate floor.
I did. And we said a prayer in there. There's a guy up there. Actually, there's one guy up there who just said we should pray, and so we, I mean, some of us did, and he was on his, like, bullhorn microphone thing, and he just, you know, consecrated it to Jesus and said, that to me was the ultimate statement of where we are in this movement. It's like, you know, there's a flag that goes around out there, the appeal to heaven.
Yeah.
And that was one of the original movements in the, what became the United States, is we appeal to heaven, because we, as individuals, we're powerless. You know, we've been betrayed by Congress. We've been betrayed by the judicial branch. We've been betrayed by our local governments, our mayors and everything. Like, I mean, what are we supposed to do?
Well, that's a good question. Well, how do you feel about what went down today?
I feel I'm kind of conflicted because, you know, you violate someone else's space. You know, you force your way into a building. In some ways, that really feels wrong. But whose space is that?
Mm-hmm.
That really does belong to us, and there's, you know, that should only be an absolute last resort, and we'll see how. I mean, I don't know that, you know, maybe we shouldn't have done that, but it's just, you come to the end of your rope and you say, what else am I supposed to do? And you get swept up in a movement, and there's a bunch of people running and doing this, and it's just, all of a sudden, it's not the logical mind that's working anymore. It's you're just reacting to things, and finally, there's a chance that you can be heard, and you can have, your voice, patriotic voice for the Constitution, for the legitimacy of votes. Like, I mean, finally, there's a chance, and, I mean, we took that chance, and, that's, you know, God will judge us, you know, for what we did. And I'm redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, right? Like, I mean, there's no judgment that stands against me. Perhaps I did something wrong, you know. I tried to be as respectful as I could while I was in there, you know, while still saying what I felt needed to be said. But what were we supposed to do?
Yeah.
What are Americans supposed to do? Like, no one will even listen to us. None of these people in Congress, none of these people, like, they just don't listen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, hello? Can you hear me now? Yeah.
Oh, that ain't good. That's where they stand. They feel like the government has failed them. The judicial system has failed them. Their local governments have failed them, and that they're not listening to them, and nothing is being done. So they had to take matters into their own hands. And that is the definition of anarchy. Real talk. That is exactly what that is. Let me find the definition of anarchy. When the people don't no longer trust the government, and they feel like that they're not being heard, and it's whatever it is they're trying to say, and they decide to take matters into their own hands, that's the definition of anarchy. Crucial. That's where they at. Crucial. What it
you
is.
You can call it what you want. You can call it anarchy if you want, but this is the hand of the Almighty Yah. You understand?
Of course. He's using that. Absolutely. It says anarchy is the state of a society being freely constituted without authority or government body. It may also refer to a society or a group of people that entirely reject a set of hierarchies. Anarchy was first issued in 1539, meaning an absence of government.
You know what my father said a long time ago when he was alive? He said, any excuse is as good as...
Yeah. I mean, that's where they are. Now, what they're asking for and the things that they're asking for is yet to be seen. The laws that they're asking for, because a lot of people feel like that Trump incited this riot by saying that the election had been stolen. And everybody is trying to let these people know that the election has not been stolen, that it was a fair election. They wanted him back in office, but I don't even know, to be honest with you, is once he's gone, if this is even going to stop. Because I'm going to tell you something, there are so many other legislators that are along with these people. You got military people that agree with these people, legislators that agree with these people, law enforcement officers that agree with these, Secret Service men that agree with these people undercover. They agree undercover. They just can't come out and say it openly that they agree with these people undercover. They just use Trump as the one to be out in front to be able to say what they've been wanting to say all along.
Well, that's been the see, you know what? They had a Revolutionary War, and it was the North against the South. I think the North won, and the South had never been on board with that at all. You understand? They went along with it. Matter of fact, they got a couple of states that's sovereign to themselves. You understand? In the South. You understand? And so, you know, all along, see, what Trump did was he gave them the voice to be able to speak out loud. But this has been going on for, a long time. Now, see, the problem that I'm having, I don't have no problem with it. I want you to know that. You understand? But what I see here is that they allowed Trump to tell that first lie when they did not address that first lie that he said. You understand? Anything that came after that, you understand, they counted as truth. You understand? And the problem that I had, I said this a long time ago, is that Trump, you understand, was the catalyst for all of this stuff to go down that was already manifested in these people's minds. You understand? You know, the Ku Klux Klan has been low-key. You understand? All these other little West, what do you call it? All these other agencies, you understand, that's coming out now, you understand what I'm saying? They have always been in the background. You understand? It's just that Trump gave them the voice now. They could come out. You understand? And now they saying, and see, the problem that I'm having, I don't have no problem, like I said, you understand? But what I'm saying is that I don't see no fraudulent stuff. They had already investigated all of that stuff, and the people, they just want to be right in that area. As long as Trump said that they told that they stole it, they on board with him no matter what. And he had said this a long time ago. He could shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue and not lose a vote. You understand? And so that, you know, all of this is right, coming right. But our God, our Elohim, our power, you understand? He's not gonna fail us in these latter days. He didn't bring us this far to let us go. Let us go. You understand? He's gonna say it out of it all. Out of all what goes down, Jacob shall be saved. And that's all I bank my life on. Hallelujah.
I want to read this article to you. It says, Russia, now listen to this, on Thursday, pointed to the storming of the U.S. Capitol building as evidence of America's decline. with officials saying its out-of-date electoral system and deep division has left its democracy limping on both feet. Under banner reading Storm of the Capitol and Chaos in Washington, Russia's state television showed rolling images of mobs of Donald Trump supporters breaking down barricades and swarming the Congress building on Wednesday as security forces fired tear gas and police drew guns inside. Congress formally certified Joe Biden as the next president despite the unrest, but many in Moscow said the stunning events has exposed America's democratic system failing. The electoral system in the United States is archaic. It does not meet the modern democratic standards. The American media has become an instrument of political struggle, foreign minister spokeswoman said in Russia. This is largely the reason for the split society now observed in the United States. Moscow has long bristled at U.S. criticism of the state of Russia's democracy under President Vladimir Putin, accusing Washington of hypocrisy and condescension. Often echoing the kind of language used against Russia, officials said on Tuesday that the United States was no longer in any position to lecture other countries on freedom and democracy. The losing side has more than enough ground to accuse the winner of falsification. It is clear that America's democracy is limping on both feet. The celebration of democracy has ended. It has, unfortunately, hit rock bottom. And I say this without a hint of gloating. America no longer charts the course, and so has lost all rights to set it, and even more so to impose it on others. That is absolutely critical. They said it's over.
Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying that's what the article said, that it's over, that the democracy has ended, that it is over, and they can no longer be the leader in charting the course for other countries.
I agree. I agree with that. I think he hit some valid points. You understand? And as the decline of America, you understand, it's going to get to the point where all the other nations are going to see their way in to help to destroy the rest of the country. You understand? So I believe in what he has said. I'm not a Putin fan. I don't subscribe to his line of thinking because he's Russian. And they don't have no love for black folks either.
Well, the reason why I bring Russia up is because the Bible says that Russia is supposed to be the country to take this down. Now, listen what he says. He says the United States certainly cannot now impose electoral standards on other countries and claim to be the world's beacon of democracy. The foreign affairs chief in the lower house told Russia's news agency. He said Washington was suffering after having promoted color revolution around the world, like anti-Moscow uprising in Ukraine and Georgia and recent protesters. The boomerang of the color revolution is turning back on the United States. All this threatens to turn into a crisis in the American system of power. The Most High said he was going to use the Medes. He said the Medes was going to be the one to bring this down.
I don't doubt it.
That's Russia.
It's unfolding where we can see it right before our eyes.
Mm-hmm. That is incredible. What it say? That is what it say. I'm going to pull it up. I'm going to pull it up because that is what it say. It says, check this out. It says, Babylon, America's coming destruction. Will terrorism in Iran play a role in America's demise? It says, American Christians may face tribulation. Watch what it says. It says, the recent news revelation that Iran has a highly developed biological and chemical warfare program may well shed light on the biblical prophecies concerning the coming destruction of Babylon the Great, which we identify as being the United States of America, a.k.a. Babylonian America. According to the article in World News Net Daily, Iran has a very secret biological weapon program that has remained unknown to the general public. Well, I don't know about all that. It is reportedly to be a highly advanced program developed in part by Russian scientists working with Iranian counterparts. It says the United States, the combination of these two elements may well explain the Babylonian American prophecy as described in Jeremiah chapter 51. The article will explain this possibility and put it into two overall contexts of American Babylon coming destruction. Russia's supposed to be the one to take this down, according to the scriptures. And Russia has been in the picture for a long time. Man, oh man, oh man. It says, biblical prophecies concerning a superpower nation at the end time, referenced as Babylon or Babylon the Great, was found in the writings of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah and Jeremiah, plus the New Testament last book, the book of Revelation. There are also minor mentions of some minor prophets, but there's no real detail for us as to consider. Isaiah gives us the first mention of a latter-day superpower named Babylon in chapter 13, 14, and 47, plus a brief mention in chapter 21. Isaiah 13 and 14 gives us scant details and is more of an outline. Yet Isaiah did briefly mention that the Medes, a.k.a. modern-day Iran and Russia, would have some sort of role in the destruction of the last of the superpower nation codenamed Babylon in prophecies.
That's what I see.
Just saying. Jeez, excuse me, y'all.
I want to say that, you know, America is truly just in modern-day Babylon. But I want to say that the Western culture is all over. You understand? They got people in Africa that abide by the rules and regulations of democracy. You understand? And that's destroying Africa. You understand? So the Western culture is all over, not just America. America, you understand? Actually, you know, we know that. The it started in England, but it also became when America and England had their war or whatever they have. You understand? America is off on its own. It's not under England's laws and commandments, man. It's under their own stuff, but it had spread out, man. You know, and see these people right here. You understand, the so-called European, the so-called Gentile, you understand, they did the same thing to every nation where they ever went, you understand? They divided and conquered, they divided so that they could conquer. They, you know, in Africa they got, and Africa is a primary example, you understand, how they got Africa all split up. You understand? All of the kings and what have you over there, they're all at odds with one another.
And it says Jeremiah gives us two full chapters, 50 and 51 pertaining to the end times Babylon superpower, including extensive details describing the nation and describing her destruction. One could say that Jeremiah fills in the details missing from Isaiah's outline account. Isaiah chapter 47 gives us a metaphor of Babylon in describing a fallen angel that functions as a protector and a manipulator for Satan's program pertaining to Babylon and its planned destiny as a base of operation for the Antichrist. This fallen angel takes the form of a female deity known in original Babylon as the goddess of Inanna, a.k.a. Ishtar, and later known as the goddess of Libertas of Rome. The end time Babylon is manipulated by her spiritually, culturally, and geopolitically. This is a part of the mystery of Babylon the Great. So these are the scriptures that have been in those Bibles that talks about this. And Russia and Iran are very vibrant and known in this day and time. Yah's word is not, let me tell you again, His word is not going to come back void. It's not. And it ain't me, so don't get mad at me. I'm just telling you what the scriptures say. His word is not going to come. You better watch. When Russia stepped on the scene with Donald Trump, I really started watching like, uh-oh. These people have had it. They have had enough of enough, and they are willing to do what you heard the man say. He said, what are we supposed to do? They not listening. What is it that we supposed to do? Russia just said it's over. The democracy has ended. It's off the chain. Woo, this is off the chain. Lord, have mercy. This is the real word of Yah coming to pass. And Trump has been very involved with Russia, very, very much so. And they even said that one time they had a meeting at the United Nations and one of the representatives of Russia banged his shoe on the table and said, we the ones that's supposed to bring America down. This is a lot going on. Y'all just don't understand. There's a lot going on. And you know what? Some of the Bible scholars that know prophecy, they sitting on the edge of their seat. we know we sitting on the edge of our seat because we know y'all said we leaving. But the real Bible scholars that have been watching this stuff, and I ain't saying none of us ain't, but I'm saying it's a whole lot of people sitting on the edge of their seat right now. This can go a whole nother direction real quick. Because they not letting up. And we know this is the power of Yah because we know that the story is written to further his agenda. It's going to do what he said it's going to do. They're going to respond the way he wants them to respond. This is unbelievable. It says that a Russian official said on Thursday that the United States was no longer in any position to lecture other countries on freedom and democracy. That's crucial. They said the reason why they didn't get involved and say nothing on that day because they were celebrating the Russian Orthodox Christmas on Wednesday.
Russian Orthodox what?
Christmas. They were celebrating their Christmas on Wednesday. That's why they started to give their comments, you know, here now. Crucial. It says the United States and other Western countries have repeatedly condemned Russia for moves to tighten control on social media. Washington has been a fierce critic of moves by Putin to clamp down on dissent, most recently accusing Russia of intensifying repression of its civil society with a new law last month expanding rules against NGO and media considered foreign agencies. Moscow says that the United States cyclically uses such claims to pursue its agenda and maintain its global position. This is going to get real interesting. If this go in the way that it look like it's going, listen, everybody better be praising y'all and getting ready to go on. Because you know Russia's supposed to be one of those countries that protect us, the village with the unwalled villages. Shoot. Listen. His word does not come back. It don't come back, boy. Serious. His word ain't gonna come. I told you, I looked up, I got scared. Like, man, this is serious. So it's definitely, I know y'all be like, man, I hope we quit talking. You can't quit talking about it. You better watch it. And we better know what to watch. You can't.
Absolutely.
This is something you really going to have to watch, because when this kind of stuff happens, it's on its way out. What else can these legislators say to these people?
I have no idea.
How can they turn this around? When they talk about killing folks, they talk about killing these people, the legislators. They had a noose outside for Pence. Zip ties. They had zip ties when they went in on the floor of Congress. They had zip ties in their hands to restrain people. I mean, it ain't funny, because there's some serious stuff jumping out, but man, oh man, oh man. This is not a light thing. That's why everybody all worried and upset. They looking like this is some very serious stuff, and this is really serious, and you better believe it is. The man said, what are we supposed to do? And the people, they feel like they at a loss. Like, what are we supposed to do? How are we supposed to do this? They're not listening to us. And everybody said, well, it's a black thing. It probably is. It has something to do with it. I don't doubt it. Because Jacob's trouble has to come. They say it's the end of this nation. It's probably, it has amped up. I would say that the Most High is moving it in this direction. I would say that from what I've seen. It, more than likely, that is what is going on. It is. That is what is going on. However, we know that in order, like you said, Brother Donnell, this has to happen for us to get to phase 3 of Genesis 15. Phase 1 was that we were going to complete the 400 years. We've done that. Phase 2, the Most High said he was going to judge the nation. It really looks like that's happening right now. Phase 3, we're going to be leaving up out of here in any minute now.
That's what I said. Won't be long.
Let me read this and see what it says. Jeremiah chapter 50, it says, the word that the Most High spake against Babylon and against the land of the Chaldeans by Jeremiah the prophet, declare ye among the nations and publish and set up a standard. Publish and conceal not. Say Babylon is taken. Baal is confounded. Merodach is broken in pieces. Her idols are confounded. Her images are broken in pieces. For out of the north there cometh up a nation against her, which shall make her land desolate, and none shall dwell there. They shall remove, they shall depart, both man and beast. In those days, and in that time, saith the Most High, the children of Israel shall come, they and the children of Yehuda together, going and weeping. And they shall go and seek the Most High their Elohim. And they shall ask the way to Zion with their faces thitherward, saying, come and let us join ourselves to the Most High in a perpetual covenant that shall not be forgotten. My people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away on the mountains. They have gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place. All that found them have devoured them. And their adversary said, we offend not, because they have sinned against the Most High, the habitation of justice, even the Most High, the hope of their fathers. Remove out of the midst of Babylon and go forth out of the land of the Chaldean and be as the he goat before the flock. He said, for lo, I will raise up and cause to come up against Babylon an assembly of great nations from the north country, and they shall set themselves in array against her. From thence she shall be taken. Their arrows shall be as a mighty expert man. None shall return in vain. And Chaldea shall be a spoil. All that spoil her shall be satisfied, saith the Most High, because ye were glad, because ye rejoiced, O ye destroyer of my heritage, because ye are grown fat as the heifer at grass and bellows at the bull. Your mother shall be sore confounded. She that bare you shall be ashamed. Behold, the hindermost of the nation shall be a wilderness, a dry land, a desert. Because of the wrath of the Most High, it shall not be inhabited. It shall be wholly desolate. Everyone that goeth by Babylon shall astonish and hiss at her plagues. Put yourselves in array against Babylon, round about all ye that bend the bow, shoot at her, spare no arrow, for she has sinned against the Most High. Shout against her round about, she has given her hand. Her foundations are fallen, her walls are thrown down, for it is the vengeance of the Most High. Take vengeance upon her as she has done unto her. Cut off the sower from Babylon and him that handled the sickle in the time of the harvest. For the fear of the oppressing sword, they shall turn every one to his people, and they shall flee every one to their own land. Israel is a scattered sheep. The lions have driven him away. First, the king of Assyria has devoured him, and last, this Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, has broken his bone. Therefore, thus saith the Most High of hosts, the Elohim of Israel, behold, I will punish the king of Babylon and his land as I have punished the king of Assyria, and I will bring Israel again to his habitations, and he shall feed on Carmel and Bashan, and his soul shall be satisfied upon Mount Ephraim and Gilead. In those days and in that time, saith the Most High, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for, and there shall be none. The sins of Yehuda, and they that shall not be found, for I will pardon them whom I reserve. Go up against the land of Merithaim, even against it, and against the inhabitants of Pekot. Waste and utterly destroy after them, saith the Most High, and do according to all that I have commanded thee. And it goes on and on and on. And everybody will be like, well, that was back then in that time. No, ma'am, no, sir. When Babylon was taken over, it was not a fight. The Medes came in and took it over without a fight.
Absolutely.
That's where you got the scripture with the handwriting on the wall. When Nebuchadnezzar's great-great-grandson was using the articles of the temple, and the hand came and wrote on the wall, that them people went to bed under one government and woke up under another. There was no fight. There was no war. But no war.
Absolutely.
Woo! Crucial. This is some serious stuff. This is serious. This is going to be, oh my goodness, gracious and mercy. Help us, y'all. man, or when he say it, he mean it. He means what he say.
And he say what he mean.
Say what he mean, brother. Brother Donia. He mean what he say, and he say what he mean, and we watching it right now. He
Absolutely.
Said a nation from the north is going to come up. And he talk about the Medes. He bring their name in there. Ain't nobody fight against Babylon in Daniel chapter 2 when Nebuchadnezzar had died off and his great-great-grandson had taken it over. It wasn't no fight.
It's amazing how the Almighty talks about bringing people from the north. You understand? They must be some wicked people in the north because he said the same thing to Abraham, that he was going to bring people from the north. No people.
Yes, Lord, have mercy. Lord.
They have no consideration for the young or the old. You understand?
The old.
And these are the exact same people. Now, when you talk about bringing the means down on them, it's going to be a terrible day. These people must be really wicked. Real wicked people, the ones from the north.
When they, Brother Donia, when they come in, it ain't going to be, everybody going to go back to their own nation. All the other people going to go back to their own nation. They going back to Germany, they going back to Italy, they going back to China, they going back to Japan. Because you know America is nothing but a melting pot of people from different nations.
Absolutely.
It says in 51, we would have healed Babylon, but she is not healed. Forsake her, and let us go everyone to his own country. For her judgment reached unto heaven, and is lifted up even to the skies. Where is it? Oh, here it is. Say, the Most High has brought forth our righteousness. Come, and let us declare in Zion the works of the Most High Elohim. It said, make bright the arrows, gather the shields. The Most High has raised up the spirit of the kings of the Medes for his device against Babylon to destroy it. Because it is the vengeance of the Most High, the vengeance of his temple. Ladies and gentlemen, the Medes are Russia.
That's correct.
It's crucial. Man, I told you I was sitting there like, oh, you the truth, man. That is serious business. Oh, you dangerous. You gonna do what you say you gonna do.
And Persia is Assyria, the Arab, what do you call those Arab? All of those are Persians. You understand? Iran. You understand?
Yep.
Iran.
The Medes is Russia.
Now, it's amazing that Iran was right next door to Iraq, but those were Babylonia, Iraq.
So all I can say is, Lord, have mercy. I mean, we got scripture right in front of us. The Most High is playing this out right now. When anytime the people of a nation get tired of the government, it's over. Because it don't take but a few to start. Look at the rhetoric and the propaganda that they started. They said the election was stolen. You know, they stole the votes. We won by landslide. He said it so much that he had these people out here doing criminal things, ready to do whatever it took to hold on to this place. Do you think that ain't going to spread like wildfire in a minute?
That's correct.
We're in a pandemic. People don't have no jobs. They barely have enough money to cover their children, their houses, their rents. All kind of stuff is jumping off. While they continue to get richer, and they continue to set rules and laws for everybody else, while they are up there till they die, that ain't gonna work. That ain't gonna work. That's not gonna work. That's gonna be ugly. But it's all the Most High's doing. It's his doing.
That is correct. Well, you know, see, I think that we may not understand that the Almighty came to Abraham and he gave a proclamation of 400 years. Now, when he came to Abraham, it must have been about 2,000 years prior to us going into this 400-year captivity. So it wasn't no thing where it happened overnight. You understand? It all had to play out. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
If you read that book, it gives us a history. And Jackson did a story for me, you understand, because he gave us a play-by-play, you understand, of events that happened during the time of our sojourning throughout that region before we came to this captivity, you understand. And when the Almighty had told Abraham that we were going to be a 400-year captivity, this was a time set by the Almighty as to what we have to go through, in the 400 years. You understand? And it was set up for our punishment. You understand? Because in the time when he was talking to Abraham, when Almighty came to Abraham, we was already set up to worship other gods. You understand? Listening to what everybody else say instead of listening to what the Almighty had already ordained us to do. If we do what we're supposed to do, it benefits the people. It's not benefiting the Almighty. I mean, what benefits the Almighty is we give praise, honor, and great glory for Him allowing certain things to happen in that time frame. You understand? But this is the hands of the Almighty, and this place was only set up for our punishment. Nothing else. Not a thing else.
Okay. Critical. I mean critical. Woo! Woof, woof, woof. It's a lot. And you know what? It takes you to know prophecy to understand what such a serious time we're in. Because everybody was sitting back like, well, ain't nothing happening. You know, we came back from Washington, D.C. Everybody expected it to go boom, boom, boom. And when it got quiet, everybody was kind of like, okay, ain't nothing happening. But every day since this has happened, something has been happening. You know, and then we hit with the plague. And then after the plague come, then we hit with this. And then, I mean, you just, and this is going to be ongoing. This ain't going to stop. And they're not going to be able to find out who all was involved in all this stuff, because it runs too deep. It goes too deep. These people are secretly feeling this way, and they're working in these high-powered offices and jobs.
Yeah.
We'll be able to find out who did all this stuff. The fact that it was able to be done is enough to tell you that this was an inside job. For you to be able to get to where you had to get and do what you needed to do, somebody cut their phone off and turned their back and act like they didn't see something.
That's correct.
They did.
They opened the door for them. They let them guys in.
Yeah, it helped them down the steps when they was leaving. So this is not something that's just going to just, and we know what it is because it's prophecy by the Most High Yah. This is His prophetic word.
That is absolutely correct.
But because you got a lot of people who don't know prophecy, they don't know end time prophecy, they don't have a clue as to what's going on. They just look at it like, oh, well, none. That was just protesters at the White House. They just jealous because we black people went out and vote. This ain't got nothing to do with that. It really don't. This ain't got nothing to do with that. This is the Most High doing. They mad because we voted. Then you can vote till you get to you. That we've been voting. Don't have nothing to do with that. This is deeper than you can ever imagine. Because as soon as Trump stepped on the scene, Russia stepped on the scene with him. And now everybody's so appalled. Oh, I'm just appalled at what he did. You didn't do nothing when he stood up there and Putin punked him out in front of everybody all over the world. You should have did something then. Every since Trump has been in office, Russia has been somewhere lurking behind. And black people so hell bent on trying to stay here and keep these jobs and these houses and these cars and the NBA money and the NFL money and all that stuff, you really think it's got something to do with you? This ain't got nothing to do with you. This is the Most High doing. Because his word ain't going to come back void.
Absolutely.
Critical. That's all I can say. Is Lord have mercy. It's just too much. I mean, when you think about, when you see it working together, cause, and we know all things work together for the good to them who love Yah and are called according to His purpose. We know this. That all it is, no matter what it looks like, it's working together for our good. We just can't see it right now, but it's working together for our good. We don't understand it right now, but it's working together for our good. Now we understand why some of those left-wing and right-wing organizations have been on our show, that we've had conversations with them multiple times, that have talked about what our agenda is and who we are as a people. All the puzzle pieces going to start coming together in a minute. Gonna come together in a minute. You're gonna be able to see it like, oh, so that's why that had to happen, and you had to meet this person, and you had to do this. He is the master puzzle maker, I'm telling you. He is the head puppet master. He's running this thing. This thing is serious. So I'm glad everybody is engaged in our prayer. I'm glad everybody is engaged in our fasting, because we need to continually do this and consistently do this, because the Most High is definitely showing us that He is moving on our behalf. You think it ain't going to be them? When we tell them people, oh, we leaving, you know what they told me? They said, that's the best thing I've heard all day. I said, for me too, so I ain't offended. I ain't mad. That's the best thing I've heard too. So they don't have no problem with us going nowhere, which make it a whole lot easier. So it ain't got to be no fight. Just let us go home. Woo, this is Grosje. The Medes and the Persians, we have gotten in the situation where the Medes said that the democracy is over. Crucial. Anybody have anything you want to say before we dismiss for the night? Please feel free to push 1. Brother Yerushalayim, you want to tell them about the men's call, if you wouldn't mind pushing 1 so you can give them the information. I hope I've given you enough scripture for you to be able to read and see that this thing is on point. Hold on, Brother Yerushalayim, your mic is open. You're on the air.
Yes, ma'am. The number for the men's call is 720-820-1215. That's 720-820-1215. And that's every Tuesday night at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
All right, all right. And the women's call is the same night. It's on Tuesday night at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And our number is 712-770-4066. 712-770-4066. And the access code is 154102#, 154102#. I hope that what we have talked about today has given you some spiritual insight, and you can really begin to start watching, because as this thing progresses, we're going to give you more prophecy to watch out for so that you know what to look for. Because if Russia step up to do anything, it's time to take notice. Brother Yerushalayim, I will give you a call if that's okay once we hang up. You guys, look, have a wonderful rest of your week, and we will see you on Tuesday. Shalom, shalom, everyone, and thank you for joining the class.